Father, I thank you, Lord, as we gather together once again around the word of God of fellowship, to look into the perfect law of liberty to gain strength therein. We know, Lord, that thy word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and we declare also that the entrance of thy word gives light, you know, brings light and gives understanding. And so shall it be on today as we fellowship to the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, yesterday we started on this, and I'm going to finish it today. Tools for victory, your victory over the devil and the world. And I'm going to do a quick recap. The first thing that we talked about, of course, was the word of God in his promises. God's promises to fight for you. And so this particular lesson is about getting victory over the devil and the world systems. And so we are looking at scriptures where God promised to do exactly that for us. We covered God's promises yesterday, many scriptures, Deuteronomy 20 and 4. I'm not going to read them, just mention them quickly. Deuteronomy 20, actually, verses 1 through 4. Powerful, very powerful scripture. That talks about God will fight for us and so forth. We should not be afraid when we face any situation. Go out to war. We should never be afraid when you're confronted with things. Deuteronomy 31, 6 and 8. It said, again, fear not. It is the Lord thy God that will go with you. We never leave you nor forsake you. Exodus 14, 13 to 14 talks about standing still to see the salvation of the Lord. And God promised to fight for the Egyptians, Israelites against the Egyptians. And he said, the Egyptians that you see today, see them no more. The Lord's going to fight for you. Praise the Lord. We also see in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 17, the young prophet told them that the Lord's going to fight for them. Fear not, stand you still and see the salvation of the Lord. You shall not need to fight in this battle, but the Lord will fight for you. Many places where the Lord said that. Isaiah 49 and verse 25, the Lord said, I will contend with him that contendeth with you, and I will save thy children. That's a promise from the Lord. And then again, Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 reminds us that the fight that we're in and the victory that we're going to get, it's not going to be by our own strength. It's going to be by our own power or might, but it's going to be by the Spirit of God. So number one tool is for us to rely on his promises that he will fight for us. The word of God, always an effective weapon in any, against any situation. Number two, we talked about faith, your faith. 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that overcometh the world. So you see that that point blank covers the topic that we're dealing with. The victory that overcomes the world is your faith. You know, by faith, we can get victory over all the challenges that we face in the world. Jesus himself said, look, as long as you are in this world, you're going to have a lot of tribulations. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we need to have the faith in what Jesus said. And he has obtained victory for us. And faith in the word of God, like in his promises, that he will fight for us. Jesus taught faith again in Mark 11. We talked about using your faith to move difficult situations like mountains and stuff. You say to this mountain, by your faith, remove and be cast into yonder place. He said, well, it should obey you if you know how to do it. Without doubting or believing the things that you've said, that it will definitely come to pass. Praise the Lord. So we see how powerful faith can be. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16 characterizes faith as perhaps the greatest of your weapons when you're suiting up. He said, you know, put on the whole armor of God. And he described many things, but then he says, above all, taking on the shield of faith. So that can be very powerful. You use it to quench anything that the devil can throw against you. Praise the Lord. So we covered that. That was number two. Then number three, we covered prayer and fasting. We talked about prayer being a turbo booster for faith. Prayer and fasting together. You know, sometimes, you know, faith just needs a little help. We see that lesson in Matthew 17, where the disciples said to Jesus, why couldn't we cast out the devil from the young man, or the young boy? And Jesus said, well, because of your unbelief. He said, well, because if you had faith, like, you know, tiny as a grain of a mustard seed, you can still use it to move mountains. But then he went on to say, but nevertheless, or how be it, this kind goeth not out except by prayer and fasting. So when your faith is not enough, get the job done. You can boost your faith through prayer and fasting. In preparation, actually, for things to come, we need to pray ahead. It's not in the moment, the heat of the battle, that we start to pray. I may be a little too late. We pray in advance, right, of the problems. And we build up spiritual capacity that way. And we are prayed up. Praise the Lord. So, we saw how in James chapter 5, the Lord mentioned, I mean, the scriptures mentioned the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availing much. James chapter 5, verse 16, that fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man can do just about anything. You know, if you know how to use your prayer along with your faith, and the prayer, we talked about the prayer that works is when you're using your faith in that prayer along with the promises of God. So when you're trying to win the battle, find these promises where God say that he is going to fight for you. And you put your faith into that and use your faith. You speak the words that God already spoke, repeating his word. So those were the first three tools that we covered yesterday. I'm going to cover four more. There may be several more. I just picked out seven. For instance, if you read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18, where he was talking about, you know, weapons and, you know, and so forth, and how, you know, we should put on the full armor of God. Well, all of those could be tools, you know, but I chose these ones to talk about here. The name of Jesus, obviously. You can't talk about victory without talking about the name of the Lord. Praise God. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, we see how Jesus got this name that is above every name, and how the name, you know, can cause things to bow. It's at the name of Jesus. Every knee must bow and every tongue confess. So let's read Philippians chapter 2, how God exalted Jesus Christ because of his humility, and how he poured out himself and emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, but took on the form of a servant, even though he was God. And then Bible say, well, because of all of that, God also in turn has highly exalted him and given him a name. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's right. that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. You know, so in every situation, whatever we face, we can use the name of Jesus to get ourselves victory, because God has exalted that name. In fact, Jesus, you know, he was teaching his disciples how to use his name, even in prayer. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. But then he went, you know, if you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. Or if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will do it for you. You know, so begin to show them how to use his name. And then he conferred upon them what I call the power of attorney to use his name. You know, he said, go and in my name do these things. You know, in my name you cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, preach the gospel in my name. You know, nothing shall by any means hurt you, he said. And all of this is in the name of Jesus. Let's read Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Again, these are just reminders of things that we already know. You know, behold, I give you power. Well, I call that the power, you know, that comes through his name. Power of attorney. Power to do things in his name. Hallelujah. I give you power. Tread on serpents and scorpions. All the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know, we do these things in his name. We go forth in his name. We have victory in his name. And a lot of people use the name of Jesus. Of course, people have learned to cry out with the name of Jesus when they are in trouble, it seems like. You know, most people have figured that out. Cry out in the name of Jesus. You know. But this name, this power, he has also given to us to use it to get victory in our situations. Praise the Lord. So, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. It's a strong tower for you. It's a defense. It's like a city of munitions. You know, built like a fortress for you to hide in. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. In Proverbs 18 and 10. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Praise the Lord. Use the name of Jesus. Psalm 124 and verse 8. And, you know, there's a song that we sing. It says, the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord is victory for me, etc. Use the name of Jesus where you are, even in prayer. You know, that's how we are instructed to pray. It's in the name of Jesus. Use that name, get yourself the victory from time to time. Our help, Psalm 124, verse 8, is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and the earth. And never you forget it. The name of the Lord, you know, it works for us. It will work for you in any situation that you are in. We don't even need to tell people too much about that, because people know how to call upon the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. It shall come to pass. Well, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord, will get the victory. You shall be saved. You're saved not just salvation of your soul, but you'll be saved from whatever precarious situation you may be in, and you call upon the name of the Lord. You know, it covers everything. You know, some people say, well, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we think that that, you know, only means about, you know, salvation of their soul. No. It is everything that you are facing. Joel chapter 2, Romans 10, 13 quotes it from here. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. See, this one here used the word delivered. The other one used the word saved. Same thing. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So when you call upon the name of the Lord, like Sammy said, we read in Psalm 18 the other day, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, called upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, if you call upon his name in truth and in sincerity, well, you will be delivered. So the situation that we are facing, come against that situation in the name of the Lord. As a story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Famous story of David going up against Goliath. Let's read just one verse. It's a long story, but read just one verse in verse 45 of you know, the way that David approached this fight. This is what he said. You know, he looked at the Goliath and so forth. He said, "Well, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. Huh. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." That's right. That's how you do it. "The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." You know, so use the name of the Lord. He has promised that he will give you the victory. "I will fight for you," he said. Hallelujah. So we can use the name of the Lord. Powerful, powerful weapon. You know, against any situation, you know, any situation, even especially for our prayers, use the name. It is the name of Jesus that moves, you know, the, you know, hand of God when we have faith in prayers. God has not given us so many names to pray over or use to pray. He's given us one name. Is unified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you use his name, you know, you will get the victory. Many scriptures talk about us, you know, using the name of the Lord. And, you know, Jesus told them, you know, "Ask in my name, and I will do it." Now, if you shall ask anything, praise the Lord. Now, we've already talked about what ask means. Well, ask sometimes can have three different dimensions of asking, seeking, and knocking. You know, but Jesus put it together. "It shall ask anything in my name." You know, John chapter 14 and verse 14. Ask anything. Part of your conflict with against the devil. You know, you go up against the devil in the name of the Lord. Jesus said, "Ask anything in my name, I will do it." Praise the Lord. So he gave us a powerful promise there. He stands behind it. You know, the name of the Lord, when you use it, he said, "I will stand behind it." Praise the Lord. So use the name of the Lord. That's another powerful, you know, powerful tool that should be in your toolkit. Every time that we think of going to God in prayer, think of it this way. You come in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, anything, if you ask him, he will do it. If you ask my Father in my name, he will give it to you. I mean, these are all the promises that Jesus gave concerning his name. What does it exactly mean to use his name? Well, yeah, it means acting in his authority. It also means we come in boldness because of the sacrificial work of Christ, and we can come to the Father and use his name in prayer. He already said it. Praise the Lord. John 16 also says the same thing. Now, in John 14:14, Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Well, in John chapter 16:23, he also says, in that day you should ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So between these two verses, John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14 tells you, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Those two verses said it back to back a couple of times. Then you jump over to chapter 16. I see that John captured a lot of this very powerful statements that Jesus made. He said again to them, you shall ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. So the right way to pray is in the name of Jesus. You pray in the name of Jesus to make declarations with that name. You say, what shall ask anything to, you know, ask me of things to come. Isaiah 45:11. Concerning my son, you can stand there and ask the Lord to move. Use the name of Jesus, and the Lord will honor it. Or you can pray directly to the Father, but use the name of Jesus. That's the name that is given to us, and that's the one that works. So powerful, powerful name. But let's go on to number five. So we talk about the name of Jesus. Let's go on to number five. The blood of Jesus, or as the scripture puts it, the blood of the Lamb. The book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it talks about, you know, how we can use, and we're going to talk about that. How do you exactly use that? So let's see, first of all, what the Bible says in Revelation 12 and 11. It said they overcome the devil, you know, by, you know, the blood of the Lamb, right? And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So the blood of the Lamb was one of those things that they used, you know, in that verse to overcome the devil. The blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Well, one way that that works is, you know, that according to, you know, Hebrews, you know, chapter 9, the scripture teaches about the power that is in the shedding of blood. Well, it was the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us, that brings us remission for our sins. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Say, almost all things of the law are purged by blood. They gave them ordinances to sprinkle things, sprinkle the blood. You know, after they killed the sacrifice, they sprinkle the, you know, the vessels of the ministry with the blood. They sprinkle this with blood. They sprinkle that with blood. Well, for purging. And he says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But it is, we know that Jesus, you know, shed his blood, you know, for us. He said, the pattern of things in heavens were purified by these things. But heavenly things themselves, you know, with better sacrifices than of bulls and goats and so forth. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, you know. And so he offered himself, you know, once for us. And many verses, you know, that the blood of goats and the blood of bulls are compared with Jesus' shedding of his blood. Let's read in the same Hebrews chapter 9. There's also another place in Hebrews 10. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 9. Let me just read a few verses there so we get a good feel for how powerful this blood is. Now, this whole book of Hebrews was about comparing Christ with Christ. Angels at one time compared with Christ. Moses compared with Christ. Priests and even the high priest compared with Christ and so on. The Old Testament compared with the Testament that Christ brought. That was all the ministry of the priesthood compared with the ministry of Christ. That's all the stuff that this Hebrews was doing. Now in Hebrews chapter 9, let's read from verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest, verse 10 now, Hebrews 10 now. And every priest which standeth daily, oftentimes, offering the same sacrifice, you can never take away sins. You know, that's how they do it. Every time they offer sacrifices. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, one, he sat down. So priests never sat down in the Old Testament. They were always standing. That's what he says here. He says, every priest standeth daily ministering. You can read that for yourself in Hebrews 10:11. They are not permitted to sit down. They're always standing because their work is never done. You know, but this man, when he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That tells you his work is done. The others stand daily to offer sacrifices. This man stood one time. He did it. Then he sat down. That's it. Done. And he even said, it is finished. He said that in the book of John. Praise the Lord. It is finished. What is finished? Well, this work, the sacrificial work that he was doing for us is finished. And he obtained the finishing of it by shedding his blood. John chapter 19 and verse 30. Jesus said it is finished. Now let me read Hebrews chapter 9 and read some of the things specifically about the blood of Jesus. What things he did through the shedding of his blood. Now, from verse 13 of Hebrews 9, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean can sanctify even to the purifying of the flesh, well, how much more then shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your sins from dead works to serve the living God. So, this shedding of the blood of Christ brings us cleansing and assurance. And that's a great victory over sin in itself. Because the devil, you know, he brought sin into this world. It was the first one that sinned when pride entered into his heart as Lucifer. And he corrupted also the glory that was put upon Adam and Eve through deceit, you know, and so on. you know. And but we see Christ shed that blood for our cleansing. So you can use the blood of Jesus against the devil. Use the blood of Jesus, cover your mind, cover your family, say all things are purified by blood. Or you cover the blood of Jesus. Cover your family, yourself, your thoughts with the blood of Jesus. Now, the blood of Jesus was shed not only for the forgiveness of our sins, or remission of our sins, but also to bring us into a new nature. Let's read in 1 John chapter 1, we read from verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, amen, that's right, we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's another thing about the blood of Jesus. Cleanses us from all sin. And you know, not only does the Lord want to cleanse us from sin, he also wants to remove the sin nature. He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's number one. And then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness so we don't go back. See, not only forgives the sins, but also removes the sin nature. All of these through the blood of Jesus. So we see the blood of Jesus, powerful, powerful. Overcome the sin nature, overcome the devil, cover all things with the blood of Jesus. Say all things are purified and covered with the blood. Amen. Now, these next two, the blood was number five. These next two, powerful stuff. Just like, well, all the others are powerful, but this next two, so powerful too. Number six, the word of your testimony. So powerful. The same verse that we read in Revelation 12:13 talks about, 12:11 talks about many things, you know, several things there that they can use to overcome the devil. They overcame the devil, he said, by the blood of the Lamb. We just talked about that. And the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto death. You know, let's talk about the word of your testimony. Hallelujah. Well, what does that mean? That means your confession of Christ and your confession of the victory even before you actually see it. That's the part that I want to reemphasize today. We've talked about that before. When the Lord promises you something, you can begin to testify as though you had it, even when you didn't have it yet, or we don't have it yet. And we see examples in the scriptures that we've talked about from time to time. Abraham was promised not only a child, but that he will be the father of nations. When as yet he had not even any child, he changed his name. He said, God told me to change my name. He changed his name and started calling himself Father of Nations. For 25 years, did not even have a child. That's a powerful word of testimony. You know, you believe, is believing God, he changed his name. God changed the name of Sarai to Sarah as well, because she'll be fruitful mother. And, you know, these people change their name to prove what they are believing God for. And they went through life believing. Even for many years, they didn't see it, but that did never stop them from believing. Powerful way, powerful to use the word of your testimony. Praise God. And that's based on, again, the word of God that he spoke to you. So, and the Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. even when you are not healed, you can begin to say that you are healed. Praise the Lord. You know, so the Lord said, look, you know, instead of us speaking negative things with our mouths, we see that story in Numbers 14. He said, what you say is what I will do. Numbers 14 and 28. So the people said, well, we can't do it. We cannot go up against those people. They are giants in the land. The land will consume us. We are like grasshoppers. We are this and that. All the negative stuff, they said. Well, the Lord said, fine. That's exactly what's coming upon you. But two of them stood up and said, no, we can do this thing. The Lord delights in us, and he has given us this, and we will go in there. We can take it. Let's go up at once. These people are bread for us. Have them for lunch. We can do it. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. I mean, they were testifying that they could do it, and they could get the land. And they did get the land, those two, Joshua and Caleb. You know, even for Caleb, it took 45 years, you know, before he got that, you know, testimony that he was declaring that he could get. But he declared it 45 years ahead. And eventually he got it. And when he did, you know, we can see that the faithfulness of the Lord in keeping and watching over, you know, that testimony. So when the Lord promises us, you know, something, well, you take it, you can begin to declare it even before you see it physically. Can begin to declare it. Declare it for yourself, you know. Let us read the declaration of Joshua the declaration of Caleb in Joshua chapter 14. Now, when Joshua began to divide the land finally, after they, you know, got a lot of victories over those nations that they drove out, and the Lord did drive out before them, you know, well, here comes Caleb. Now, Caleb is going to be, you know, Joshua is dividing the land and giving Caleb some land that he was not satisfied with. And he's going to plead his cause here. You know, so told him, remember, you know, what the Lord promised me by the mouth of Moses. Because I had believed the Lord in that day when my brethren did not believe. And here's what he said. Let's read from Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. The children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, you know. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you. You know, in Kadesh Barnea. Yeah, it was only two of us that believed, but the rest did not. Now, I was 40 years old at that time, he said, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me and you to go spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my mouth. Nevertheless, the rest of my brethren, as you know very well, that went up with me and you, made the heart of the people to melt. But I wholly followed the Lord. You know, and one of the things he said when he was following the Lord is, we are able to take that place. And Moses swore unto me that day, saying, surely the land wherein your foot had trodden, you know, shall be thine inheritance, and your children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now, he said, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, even as he said, these 45 years. You talk about Abraham taking 25 years to get the promise. Well, it took this man Joshua 45 years. But yet he said, well, these 45 years since that word was spoken to me. Now, you know, we know that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and you know, many of them perished that came out. In fact, most of them, the older ones, died in the wilderness. I said, now, today, I'm 85 years old. 45 years later, I am still as strong as I was then, and I'm claiming what is mine. I'm ready. I can still go in and out for war. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. So I'll claim it. You know, because the word of his confession, it was the word of his testimony that we can do it. That's what eventually got him this thing. Even though it took 45 years, but he got it. Nonetheless, you know, and nothing failed. He said, give me this mountain. And he claimed it. And he got a larger place than would have been dished out to him. And Joshua blessed him, gave Caleb, you know, Hebron for an inheritance. Oh, my goodness. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, until this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God. You know, so he took that land, got that land because of the word of his testimony. You know, that's how you do it. And the Lord tells us that, look, use positive language. Because if you don't, well, Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2 says, thou art ensnared by the words of your mouth. So, you know, what comes out of your mouth is very critical. We speak the right thing. You know, even Paul, he said, look, you know, when I am weak, well, then I am strong. Instead of actually claiming that he is weak, well, he turned it around, and it was kind of like a paradox statement from him. Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, you know, Paul was talking about this thing. He said, look, when I am weak, then I am strong. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient to you. He was saying, you can read, let me read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read from verse 9 to maybe 11. Let's read it. See how Paul used even his own testimony to gain strength in time of weakness. That's how you do it. See, he said, look, there was something that was bugging me, the messenger of Satan, buffeting me. And I sought the Lord 3 times for this thing, that it might depart from me. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, most therefore gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities. The power of Christ may rest upon me. And, you know, so I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and so on. And in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Praise God. You know, that's what he said. He didn't, you know, like to say that he was weak. He liked to say that he was strong, even when he was weak. And, you know, the culture where I come from, you know, even people don't believe anything. They're not even believers. They like to say they are strong when they are actually sick. That's what they say, even until this day. And you hear somebody say, well, how are you doing? Say, well, I'm strong. Well, that they actually meant that they are sick. You know, because they've learned that to try to not use those negative words. And they will say stuff like that. Well, even some believers say that too. But, you know, but this all comes from this thing that Paul is testifying about, teaching of his experience here. Praise the Lord. In Joel chapter 3, verse 10, he says, you know, let the weak say, I am strong. That's what it says. So that's a word of your testimony. You know, let the sick say, I am healed. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am blessed and rich. Well, Second Corinthians chapter, you know, 8 tells you that, right? I mean, ye yourself know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, right? That though, you know, he was rich, but for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. So we can now declare When you think that you are poor, you can declare that you are rich. When you think that you are sick, or when you're sick, you can actually say that you are healed. That's a word of your testimony. Now, how do we testify today? Everybody knows how to do it, right? You know, we have testimony time in the church, and people come out and give their testimony of what the Lord has done. That's great. And we do, even in our church, we do it. You know, we set apart one Sunday of the month, you know, and give special time. And you know, people can have testimony anytime, but that particular time, we say, look, if you have testimony, it's testimony time. You can come and give your testimony. And so people come and they tell of all the wonderful things that the Lord has done. And that's great. We give glory to God and people are encouraged and we shout the victory. You know, however, that's not the only way to give your testimony. That's just the common way that people give testimony. According to Revelation 12 and 11, you can actually give your testimony before the thing, because that's when it is a weapon. It's not a weapon when it's already done and you're just testifying to give glory to God. It is a weapon during the fight and even before the victory. He said they use it to overcome the devil. Use the word of your testimony. You know, in the face of the problem that you're going through, you testify. When you get a bill of ill health from the doctors, you say, I am healed. Glory to God. You know, the doctors say different. The evidence, even, you know, through the screening and the all the tests they do show differently. But you speak the word of God. Say, I am healed. That's how you use your testimony as a weapon. Well, let's read the story of, you know, a couple of, you know, young men in the Bible, how they did this thing, you know. How they testified, even under the penalty of death. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and we read this story about Nebuchadnezzar, you know, how he set up an image and told everybody, when you play some music and so forth, you all got to bow down and dance to my music, worship my God, which I have set up and all. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as you know the story, they wouldn't do it. So it was reported to the king that these ones wouldn't do it. They were brought before the king. The king gave them one last chance. Is it true what I have heard, the king said, that you refuse to bow down to my God or dance to my music of my God and so on? Well, I said, well, I give you one last chance. I'm pretty sure that's not the truth. You know, I'm sure you wouldn't defy me like that. So we're going to play the music now. And if you hear that music, you bow down and worship my God, which I have set up. Well, all is well. But if not, you know, this is what's going to be your fate. You're going to be cast into the fiery furnace. But let's read the response of these people, how they use the word of their testimony to get victory over even the fire and the fiery furnace. Well, they did not, you know, back down at all. And they did not wait until they came out of the fire to say that we're coming out of the fire. But they said it ahead of time. They answered the king. You can read verses 13, you know, through about 19. But in verse 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter, because he told them, look, I'm going to give you another chance. Think it over. Penalty of death, or, you know, you fall down, worship, or penalty of death. And they said, well, we're not even going to, there's no need for us to go and make consideration or deliberation on what our answer will be. We already know. He said, you know, if that's the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. That's how you use your testimony. They said our God is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us. Praise God. Powerful stuff. I mean, They are standing there and they are saying, God will deliver. Even if you cast us into the fire, God will deliver us. Hallelujah. And that was even before they got the victory. Now, they can come out of the fire and later go to church and say, my goodness, you know, God gave us a tremendous victory. We walked through the fire and came out. And that would be great too. But here, they are testifying even before they got the victory. They're saying our God is able and he will deliver us. That's the word of your testimony. And they got the victory. You know, and they were sold out. Their minds were made up. Well, now we know that God is able to deliver and we know that he will. But let's just assume for whatever reason, best known to him, if he chooses not to deliver us, of course, we know he can and he will, but let's just say he doesn't. Well, still, we will not bow. Now, that infuriated the king to the point that he gave a commandment for them to hit up the thing 7 times more. How dare you stand there and tell me? He said, who is that God that is able to deliver you out of our hands? Well, you know, that was his first mistake. You don't say that about God. He said, look, you know, if you worship, all is well, but if you don't, you'll be casting the fire bird furnace. And who is that God, he said, that can deliver you out of my hand? Now, these young men, they're going to answer him right back. I'm going to tell you who that God is. Our God. Huh? We say, able. But, you know, this man said, you can't, no God can deliver you from this thing. Said, well, that's what you think. You never met my God. Glory to God. That's right. That's how you testify. You know, but this man said, I'm going to heat it up and let me see who's going to deliver you. Which God can deliver? I said, well, that's because you've never met my God yet. My God is not only able, he actually will deliver us. Praise God. Before they were even cast into the fire, they were testifying of it, that they're coming out of it. So that's how you use the word of your testimony to weaken the devil, you know. And so the man, being furious, commanded that they heated up the thing 7 times, and they did. And even the sentries and everybody that tried to cast these people into the fire, the fiery furnace, the flames were so huge that even those who were trying to cast these people in, because they had to get to almost the edge of the fire to cast them in, because they couldn't throw them for like 20 feet. I mean, these were, you know, lanky boys. You know, so you had to go right up close to the fire to throw them in. They themselves were consumed by the fire that was trying to throw these people in the fire. And yet when these people landed in the fire, they did not struggle. They had bound their hands, you know, bound them hand and foot and so forth, threw them into the fire so they cannot escape, pushed them in there. But as soon as they landed in the fire, well, these bonds that were in their hands, the bands snapped and broke. The feet broke. My goodness. And they saw that there was no hurt. The fire had no power. And they walked around. They overcame that situation by the word of their testimony that they gave even before the event. So, praise the Lord. While you are facing and enduring, give the word of your testimony. Don't wait. You know, come out and say, look, you know, doctors said this and this, but I know whom I have believed. And I know that my God is able and he will. Not only is he able. Remember how we've taught these word of your testimony out of the faith specs, Hebrews 11 and 13. The end of that is your testimony. First, you find a promise that you believe and you are persuaded that God can do it. See, search the scriptures. That's the yes. Be persuaded once you find a promise that God is going to do it, that he's able to do it. And then the E is embrace it for the situation. Not only can he do it, but he is going to do it. Then you begin to testify that you got it already. That's your confession. you know, testify. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that you are waiting for, begin to testify. You know, well, prepare and believe. You're believing God to be married? Well, preparing. You're believing God for children? Well, prepare. You're believing God for, you know, deliverance from a situation? Well, prepare as it is. You know, you can even celebrate ahead of time because you put your faith where your mouth is at. Let's just put it that way. You speak the word of your testimony. You begin to speak it. I will be the father of nations. It doesn't matter whether I don't have a child now or not, but I will be the father of nations. Call yourself by that. You even change your name to prove it. And many years pass and still nothing, but you keep on saying it. And sure enough, you know, the thing becomes as it was said. Praise the Lord. So that was number six. Well, let's talk about number seven. If you know how to use these seven things together, my goodness, you will always have victory over the devil. Number seven, last but certainly not the least of these tools that I'm talking about in this series is your praise. Yeah, your praise. You know, you can praise the Lord to your victory. And we've seen how people have used praising the Lord, you know, get the victory. And even whether they were thinking the praise was going to bring them the victory or not, as they were praising the Lord, victory came. We've seen that in several cases. Well, let's start with a simple case. You know, how in the book of, you know, Acts, you know, chapter 16, we see that, you know, Paul and Silas, you know, were in prison. Because, you know, they, you know, cast out this demonic spirit of divination from this woman, and the people she worked for that she brought gains to them, they were not happy because she couldn't do that thing anymore. So they got these people cast to prison. Well, the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, verse 25, and sang praises unto God. See, it wasn't just a prayer, but they were singing praises. And the prisoners heard them. They weren't doing it just silently. They were boldly praising the Lord. And of course, the Lord responded. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. You know, I think the angel of the Lord came there and did that, snapped those things. You know, and so on and so forth, you know. And that's how they got the victory over that situation, through praising the Lord. Right there. They were in prison, they praised the Lord. And praised the Lord to their deliverance. Hallelujah. You know, a more powerful story is the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. You know this story. But he, after the word of promise, said, the Lord will fight for you. Remember, that's how we started. First of these tools is God's promise to fight for you. Well, the last of it is your praising the Lord for what he promised. Even when you haven't seen it, you can use all of them in combination. And Jehoshaphat consulted with the people, you know the story, and found the best singers. Some of the sons of Asaph and different things, and knew how to keep the commandment of David the king on how to praise the Lord. Those who are skilled with instruments of praise, you know, he found them. You know, it's like a quick audition that he did. I want the best, the people that are skilled the most to do this thing. And he got them together, assembled them. Meanwhile, you know, the captain of the host was assembling the soldiers. Well, while they were doing that, you know, Jehoshaphat was assembling the praisers. He was assembling a praise team. Glory to God. And when he got the praise team ready, the other side got the soldiers ready. He said, all right, we're ready to go. And so soldiers are, you know, I mean, the soldiers are ready. They lay down their life, are trying to go out and, go out for a battle. Joseph, not so. The Lord said, we shall not need to fight in this battle. So I said, but we are for soldiers. We are trained to fight. I said, yeah. But this time around, you see the salvation of the Lord. You stay in the back. These ones will go forward and be in the front to praise the beauty of holiness. Oh, my goodness. Soldiers were wondering, what manner of thing is this? But yes, it is the manner of praise that gets you victory. Praising the Lord in the face of the, the terrible, the terrifying situation. Three great companies that came against them. Moab, Ammon and Mount Seir. And they completely outnumbered them. Joshua said, well, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And the Lord gave him a word. And as soon as the Lord gave him that word, he worshipped. That's right. And the Lord said, tomorrow, you do this and that. Well, today, Joshua said, well, I'm going to worship because the Lord gave me promise for tomorrow. So today I'm going to worship. And that's the thing to do. The promise may be yet afar off, but today you worship. Today you praise the Lord. In fact, he commanded the whole of Israel. They began to praise the beauty of holiness. They began to worship. When you have a commander-in-chief or a president or a leader, a king like that, that leads the charge in worshiping and praising the Lord, everybody follows suit. That's what we need in this nation and other nations. We need godly leaders. Not leaders who are full of themselves, but people that we acknowledge the glory of God and praise him. Well, Jehoshaphat did. And you know the rest of the story. The Lord actually put a spirit of confusion upon their enemies. Three great armies came together. Army number A, number B, and number C. And as it came to pass, with the spirit of delusion that God put upon them, army number A stood up first, saw army number B, and looked at them as though they were Israel. And the other person also thought, B also looked at A, and they thought they were Israel. They didn't know that those were their own allies. And they faced each other. God put a delusion upon them, and they destroyed one another completely. Now, when they finished, two of them colluded together, A and B colluded together to fight against C, because they thought C was the enemy, and they destroyed C. When they finished, then the Lord put the same delusion on them to see the other as the enemy, and they began to fight against each other. God just put confusion in their camp, and they destroyed. They just destroyed one another. A and B destroyed C, and A and B faced each other and destroyed, each other. And meanwhile, Israel just continued praising the Lord. Praise the Lord. Powerful, powerful story. That's how you use your praise to get the victory. Even while the battle is going on. Someone once said, while you're waiting in the corridor for an answer from God, let it be a waiting of praise. While you are knocking on the door, wait in the corridor of praise. Beautiful quotation. I love it. Praise the Lord while you are still even waiting. Don't wait until you get all the answer, then you come out and praise the Lord. That's good too. But show your faith by praising the Lord even ahead of the situation. And give your testimony about it too. So these two powerful ones, the word of your testimony and the praise, you can use them before the thing as well. So even while you're going through, or even before you see the victory, you can use these as well. So all these tools, let me round up here and summarize the tools that we've talked about. Powerful seven tools that you can use. Make sure that your toolkit is loaded with these things. Number one, the promises of God to fight for you. Now, we're talking about battle now. Remember, you're fighting the devil. You're fighting the world systems. Why are we fighting the world? Because the systems of this world, they are designed to steal your joy, kill your dreams, even destroy your life. They devil is the ruler of this world, and that's what he does. And the contrary, we have failure situations where, you know, I said, well, these people are idle. They're idle. That's why they say, we'll go and praise the Lord. Well, let there be more burdens and more tasks and more labor and more hard labor put upon them and take away even their supply. Let them go find for themselves. They weary them with their search, you know, and their labor, and they will not have time to praise the Lord. Well, those tactics are still in play today. Give them more bills to pay, you know, put sickness in their family so they run in helter-skelter. They will not have time to praise the Lord. Do this. Bring situation. Cause them to lose their jobs. Cause them to, I mean, so many things. Well, you overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You find these promises that God will fight for you. Use them. So that's number one. The promise of God to fight for you. You know, and you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There are times the Lord tells you to engage. Sometimes it tells you to stand still, but you still engage. You know, your engagement may be to praise the Lord while you're waiting. You know, then we've got your faith. Powerful. You must always use your faith. Quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Put your faith in the word of God. That's the thing that overcomes the world. We talk about prayer and fasting. Jesus said it himself. You know, your faith, when your faith is lacking, you can't do these things. But even sometimes your faith needs a little help. Jesus said it. When we talk about the name of Jesus, that's number four. And then we talk about the blood, that's number five. We talk about the word of your testimony, that's number six. And your praise, number seven. Use these tools together to get victory over the devil and over situations that you are facing in the world. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I overcome the world for you. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, that's a wrap for the lesson. Praise God. I'm going to leave it here. Now, if you search the scriptures, you can come up with 23 or so more of these things that you can use, you know, to fight various things. You can dissect the weaponry. You can dissect the armor of the ultimate warrior that Paul described. I mean, you can find a lot of things, but these seven encapsulate everything. You know, if you can know how to use these ones, you will get victory more times than not. Praise the Lord. Well, that's it. That's it for our lesson. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Again, this was a reminder. I don't think there's anything that you've never heard. But remember what the Lord said unto us, that as we see the day approaching, encourage one another. And Holy Spirit himself, one of his roles is to bring to your remembrance the things which the Lord already told you. So when we bring out lessons of things which you may already know, well, that's Holy Spirit bringing to your remembrance, just like Christ said he would. I'm going to pray over the room and then turn it over for testimonies. I'd like to actually hear a testimony here today of something that is still afar off. You testify of it today. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Well, you can testify. I have the evidence. What's your evidence? My faith. By faith, you can declare that you already have what you don't even have. That's how it works. We'll say that's silly. Well, that's it. Maybe silly because the carnal mind does not comprehend the things of God. It can't discern them because they are spiritually discerned. And he can't understand it. You know, so it's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. But this is how it works. Faith sees as now what is yet future. You see, you know, 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 25 years, doesn't matter down the road, doesn't matter. Faith sees it as now, you know, because now faith is the substance of, you know, things hoped for. evidence of what not seen. So today you can see what's afar off by faith. And believing will eventually get you there, but faith will see it today. Hallelujah. You see it as though you had it already. Praise God. You testify. Testify. I'd like to see more people learn how to use that. Praise God. You know, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your children. Thank you for encouraging us to believe your word of God and to go out and step out in faith. You say, I come against you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, for that name. So powerful. The blood of Jesus. So powerful. And we thank you for the promises that you have given us. So powerful. And you know, pray, Lord, for the grace for us to get into a prayer and fasting habit too. At times, you know, to boost our faith. Using our faith in the promises of God, word of our testimony, and our praise. All these tools to give us the victory over the devil. Give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. Thank you, Lord, for the eye of faith that can see as now things that are yet future. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.